News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathik Ritsin Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Prime Minister Narendra Modi tore into the opposition in his reply to the motion of thanks on the President's address in the Lok Sabha on Wednesday, as he alleged that their continuous disruptions in the Parliament over the farm laws was a well-thought-out strategy. Those who are disrupting the House are doing so as per a well-planned strategy. They are unable to digest that people are seeing through the truth. Through their games, the trust of the people can never be won, he said. He said that the central government and the Parliament have great respect for the farmers who are voicing their views on the three farm bills, and that is why topmost ministers have been talking to them. Replying in the Lok Sabha to the discussion on the motion of thanks to the President's address to the joint sitting of Parliament, Modi again allayed apprehensions on the farm laws, saying neither any agriculture mandi has shut down after the three laws were enacted, nor has the MSP stopped. Rather, the MSP has only increased, which no one can deny. This House, our government, and we all respect farmers who are voicing their views on the farm bills. This is the reason why topmost ministers of the government are constantly talking to them. There is great respect for farmers. After the laws relating to agriculture were passed by Parliament, no mandi has shut. Likewise, MSP has remained. Procurement on MSP has remained. These facts can't be ignored, he said. The Congress walked out of the Lok Sabha as PM Modi explained the government's stand on the three farm laws. TMC MPs walked out later as well. Modi said the Congress has taken different stands in the Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha. A divided and confused party like this can do no good to the country, he added. Following a breakthrough in the ninth round of military commander-level talks, Indian and Chinese troops along the border in Ladakh have initiated the process of disengagement, Chinese media said on Wednesday. Quoting Defense Ministry spokesperson Colonel Wu Qian, the Chinese media reported that troops of both countries stationed at the northern and southern shores of Pangong Lake in Ladakh began disengagement according to the consensus reached during the talks. Defense Minister Rajnath Singh will make a statement in the Rajya Sabha this morning on the present situation in eastern Ladakh. Sources confirmed to CNN News 18 that disengagement has started in the two banks. The process will take place in phases and will be verified at every step, they said, adding that troops will be disengaged first in the lake's north bank and then the south bank. Tanks are being moved out of the south bank, and the strength of Indian troops deployed there will also be reduced, they said. First, the armoured component will be moved out, then the troops at the rear will be thinned out. We continue to hold strategic heights. Frontline troops will not be disengaged at the moment. We are looking at early days and a long road ahead, sources said. The central government, referring to the friction along the line of actual control with China, said in a written reply in the Lok Sabha, government will continue discussions with the Chinese side to achieve the objective of disengagement from all friction points and restoration of peace and tranquility in the India-China border areas at an early date. Nearly 50,000 Indian Army troops are currently deployed in a high state of combat readiness in eastern Ladakh. Multiple rounds of talks between the two sides had so far not yielded any concrete outcome to resolve the standoff. China has also deployed an equal number of troops, according to officials. The standoff between the two sides erupted in early May last year. And Nepal on Wednesday revoked the Everest summit certificates of two Indian climbers for faking their 2016 ascent and banned them and their team leader from mountaineering in the country for 6 years, officials said. Narinder Singh Yadav and Seema Rani Goswami said they reached the top of the world's highest mountain in the 2016 spring season, and Nepal's tourism department certified their claim at the time. But outrage erupted among Indian mountaineers after Yadav was listed for the prestigious Tenzing Norgay Adventure Award last year, triggering an investigation. Tourism Ministry spokesman Taranath Adhikari told AFP their investigations and inquiries with other climbers revealed that the two never reached the summit. They couldn't produce any evidence of their ascent to the peak. They even failed to submit reliable photos of them at the summit, Adhikari said. The two climbers and their team leader, Nabakumar Phukon, have been banned from climbing Nepal's mountains for 6 years, starting retroactively from May 2016. Seven summit treks which organized the expedition has been fined 50,000 rupees or US$450, and their supporting Sherpa has been fined 10,000 rupees or US$85. Standing at the top of the 8,848-meter mountain adds a star to a climber's resume, and many go on to forge careers as motivational speakers and authors. The current system demands photos and reports from team leaders and government liaison officers stationed at the base camp, but it has been open to attempts at fakery. In 2016, another Indian couple were banned for 10 years after they faked photographs purporting to show them at the top of Everest. Prosecutors unveiled chilling new security video in Donald Trump's impeachment trial on Wednesday, showing the mob of rioters breaking into the Capitol, smashing windows and doors, and searching menacingly for Vice President Mike Pence and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi as overwhelmed police begged on their radios for help. In the previously unreleased recordings, the House prosecutors displayed gripping scenes of how close the rioters were to the country's leaders, roaming the halls chanting, "Hang Mike Pence," some equipped with combat gear. Outside, the mob had set up a makeshift gallows. Videos of the siege have been circulating since the day of the riot, but the graphic compilation amounted to a more complete narrative, a moment-by-moment retelling of one of the nation's most alarming days. In addition to the evident chaos and danger, it offered fresh details on the attackers, scenes of police heroism and staff whispers and cries of distress. At one dramatic moment, the video shows police shooting into the crowd through a broken window, killing a San Diego woman, Ashley Babbitt. In another, a police officer is seen being crushed by the mob. Five people died. The vice president, who had been presiding over a session to certify Joe Biden's victory over Trump, thus earning Trump's criticism, is shown being rushed to safety, where he sheltered in an office with his family, just 100 feet from the rioters. Pelosi was evacuated from the complex before the mob prowls her suite of offices, her staff hiding quietly behind closed doors. Police, overwhelmed by the mob, frantically announce, "We lost the line," and urge officers to safety. One later died. Though most of the Senate jurors have already made up their minds on acquittal or conviction, they were riveted and sat silently. Rioters had rummaged through their desks in the very chamber where the impeachment trial is now being held. Screams from the audio and video filled the chamber. One Republican, James Lankford of Oklahoma, bent his head, a GOP colleague putting his hand on his arm in comfort. "They did it because Donald Trump sent them on this mission," said House Prosecutor Stacey Plaskett, the Democratic delegate representing the Virgin Islands. "President Trump put a target on their back, and his mob broke into the Capitol to hunt them down," she said. Some senators acknowledged it was the first time they were grasping how perilously close the country came to serious danger. "When you see all the pieces come together, just the total awareness of that, the enormity of this threat, not just to us as people, as lawmakers, but the threat to the institution and what Congress represents, it is disturbing," said Republican Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. "Greatly disturbing." The stunning presentation opened the first full day of arguments in the trial. As the prosecutors argued, Trump was no innocent bystander, but the inciter-in-chief of the deadly Capitol riot, a president who spent months spreading election lies and building a mob of supporters primed for his call to stop Biden's victory. The day's proceedings unfolded after Tuesday's emotional start that left the former president fuming when his attorneys delivered a meandering defense and failed to halt the trial on constitutional grounds. Some allies called for yet another shakeup to his legal team. Trump is the first president to face an impeachment trial after leaving office and the first to be twice impeached. He is charged with incitement of insurrection, with fiery words his defense lawyers say are protected by the Constitution's First Amendment and just figures of speech. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.